today on Real Radio.
I don't think God tells angels stuff that he wants to tell us. They were not created in his image. And angels are unredeemable. Isn't that wild? Think of that. He didn't die for angels. He died for us. I think he tells us things if we're listening.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, in a message called Just Making Sure, Pastor Jack wants us to re-examine our Christian walk by making sure that we're not just believing in Christ, but that we also have a relationship with Him. As Jesus and His disciples were walking from the Upper Room Passover meal to the Garden of Gethsemane, they would have passed something called the golden vines of the temple. Now, these precious vines symbolized Israel's relationship with God, and this is where Jesus spoke of Himself as being the true vine, and we are His branches. Today, Pastor Jack continues in the book of John, chapter 15, with some questions we need to ask ourselves. Is there a hunger in our lives to pursue God? Do we have a longing for a relationship with Him? And are we allowing Jesus to be our power, our strength, and our resource? And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I'm asking you to put more love for you in my heart. I want to love you more. I want to hang out with you more. I want to talk to you more in prayer. That's what talking to God is, prayer. We make such a big deal of prayer. Let's pray. Really, it's that bad? I'm going to go to a prayer meeting. Why? What happened? Isn't it terrible? It's communication. The believer goes, prayer meeting or not, I talk to God. We just talk to God. You could be at work talking to God. You're driving on the freeway, you're talking to God. And this is a great time to be alive. You can have like Bluetooth. Listen, I got saved back in the days when you were talking to God and you're talking, you're driving, and Lord, you know, God, you're awesome. And people would go, this guy's sick. He's sick. Pull him over. There was none of that technology. Nowadays, you can get away with anything. You can talk to God all the way to work and people think you're on your cell phone. You're talking to God. It's just prayer. God bless my family. Lord, just heal America. Lord, do something mighty in my church. On and on it goes. But a believer understands that God wants this personal. Also this. He says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Boy, isn't that true? Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want my life to make a difference. And Jesus is saying, okay, this is great. This is fantastic. Watch this. I'm going to use you. All you need to do is stay with me. Just stay with me. It takes no effort. Stay with me. You don't have to jump through the hoops. Stay with me. There's no performance on your part. Stay with me. Isn't that amazing? Think of it. This rubs us the wrong way now. Listen, for those of you, and many of you have come to this church out of cults, and the cults taught you, you had to earn God's favor. You had to work hard enough to get Him to smile. And you're not even still sure, oh, you know, am I saved? Will it all weigh out in the end? Will my good scale outweigh my bad scale? That's paganism. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and there's nothing you can add to the merit of Christ. He's done it all. You are to receive what He's done. And in that, you say, God, I'm a sinner, and I need your saving grace. In that is repentance. Lord, I turn from my ways, and I call out to you. This is acknowledgement. But God has done the saving. You are to receive. And the person that's in hell today, they would, boy, I tell you, if we could just open up the ceiling and let them talk, or open up the floor and let them talk. Imagine what they would say. We know this from the Bible. They would not say, well, I shouldn't be here. Did you know none of them would say that? They would say, don't be so stupid like I was, and arrogant and proud. Every time someone came to me and began to share with me about the love of God and Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I mocked them. I made fun of them. I pushed them away. I would have nothing to do with it. Plus, I didn't have the time. I was trying to make all this money and do all this stuff and have this kind of thing. And my life ended. I breathed my last breath, and I woke up in a life of having denied Christ all my life. And this is how I put myself in hell. You say, how do you know, Jack? Because the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. No greater love than a man hath than a man laid down his life for his friends. Henceforth, I call you, Jesus said, my friends. What's your excuse? We are to be abiding in him, and it's simply saying, Lord, have it all. And therein is the challenge, isn't it? Lord, have it all. Take it all. And yet it's the best thing that we could ever do. He goes on and he says this. If anyone does not, verse 6, abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they are gathered, they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this is my opinion, and I stress, underline, this is my opinion. I think Jesus is here making a point. I believe when you put this in light of all other scripture, Jesus is not saying, well, there's those who were saved and then they lost their salvation and they wound up being burned up. That's nowhere in the Bible. You say, yeah, but it says they're a branch. Well, yeah, we're all humans. Some are going to heaven and some are not. Didn't Jesus warn us that the kingdom of God is like a field that has tares in it? You know what a tare is? A tare looks just like wheat. You can't tell the two apart. One has a toxic characteristic to it, and the other one's real wheat. And you don't mess with either one until the day of the harvest. And then when you judge or winnow or you thresh the wheat, then the tares are separated from the real chaff, but they look, or the real wheat, but they look exactly the same. Jesus is not talking here about somebody losing their salvation. He's talking about people who were given the opportunity to be saved and never accepted. I believe if you have salvation, you can't lose it. The question is, do you have it? How do you know you have it? How do you honestly know you're going to heaven? There's only one way. By abiding in Christ, have you produced fruit? I'm going to tell you in the end what the fruit is. Have others come to pick from your life the things that God has done, and you know God has been the one doing it? You are, in fact, you're a little bit embarrassed that your life has even mattered at all, though you're glad because you couldn't have pulled it off. Do you know what I'm saying? Please listen. I love you. I pray that you can't sleep tonight until this is settled in your life. Have you produced, or have you seen fruit produced from your life? It's a very strange setting. You can look at it later. If you go to the west side of the sanctuary building over here, on the west building, there are orange trees that produce oranges, and we give them away to people here in the body. You go to the right side of the sanctuary, and there's orange trees, and they don't produce nothing. They get the same vitamins. They get the same water. In fact, look at the difference in growth. They've told us the soil's exactly the same. For me, I love gardening. You guys all know that. It bugs me to no end. What is happening? Isn't it interesting that on the right side, it's fruitful, and on the left, it's not? Jesus says, the sheep I have on my right, the goats are on the left. How is it that you have a home raising children and the two kids hear exactly the same thing and one embraces Christ and one doesn't? Jesus says, abide in me. Rejection, acceptance and rejection. If it wasn't the case, he wouldn't have pleaded with us. Abide in me. And watch this. Look in your Bible. Abide in me. Verse 2, bring forth fruit. Abide in me, verse 5, bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, I think it's verse 8. I'm not looking, I'm going from memory right now. Produce much fruit. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. What does this mean? As a Christian, I'm to be more productive. Listen, I'm to be more spiritually productive with each year of growth than it was previously. This is not an option. This is a mandate by God. Were you serving God more 3 years ago than you are today? Why? That's not God's will. Were you loving God more 3 years ago than you are today? Why? That's not God's will. Were you more influential for the kingdom of God 3 years ago than you are today? Why? That's not God's will. So what? I'm older. What does that have to do with anything? You should be more fruitful and more creative about being fruitful. To not be progressing is to be backsliding. And I say this in love because, listen, the world's gone nuts. And we need to be ready. So what are you talking about? Guns? Tanks? I'm talking about having your soul secured in the everlasting arms of God. He says in verse 7 and 8, if you abide in me, okay, hang on to your seats. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you have the word of God in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Someone just heard me say that and said, oh, awesome. I can get a Bentley now and a Ferrari and throw in a Hummer. That's not what it means. Watch everyone. Verse 7, if you live in me and my words live in you, go ahead and ask whatever you want and it's going to be done. You know what that means? The issues of heaven that's on God's heart. I don't even think he tells this stuff to angels. I really mean this. I don't think God tells angels stuff that he wants to tell us. They were not created in his image. And angels are unredeemable. Isn't that wild? Think of that. He didn't die for angels. He died for us. I think he tells us things if we're listening. I don't think God would say things like this to us. If you ingest my word, the Bible, my word. I've been reading some good Christian books. Put them down. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. God says that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit who uses the word of God that renews our mind daily. The Bible says we've been given a new heart, but our minds have to be renewed daily. I appreciate that. You know what? You cannot read enough Bible. I met a man last service who, and if he's in this service as well, I hope it doesn't go to his head. This needs to go to his heart. He said, Pastor Jack, what you said today at second service is so true. I picked up this challenge and I did it. And I said, what is that? And he said, I've read the New Testament 52 times in 1 year. And he said, the word of God in my life changed my life forever. See, you know what? If we're not careful, do you know what's changing our lives forever? The world news reports, or I don't even know what's on TV anymore. Reality show stuff. Actually, I'm a documentary junkie. I have to be careful about that. There's one. I'll pick on myself. My whole worldview could be shaped by documentaries. And God says, turn it off. They're not bad. A Bible program on the radio is not bad. But if it's your only source of ingestion, that's not good. You know what? God wants to sit down with you and talk to you from this book, his Bible. Will you just start reading it? Just read it. Turn off the music. Get away. Climb a tree. Seriously, I don't care. Get away. Find a place. Start reading it. And then the young people go, you mean a book? A physical book? You want me to? Well, okay, yeah. You can read it on your iPad or whatever you've got. Just pray to God that the batteries don't wear out. Read it. Because if his word gets inside, you know what's going to happen? The conversion of your will takes place, and this is what happens. You go from praying, oh God, I pray I win the lottery, to, Lord, how can I reach the hurting in my church? How can I reach the homeless? Or how can I reach the person I sit near or around on Sundays or Wednesdays? God, what are we going to do about the earthquake in the Philippines? What are we going to do? God, speak to me. Listen, your very heart's desires have been deposited or will be deposited by God in your heart, and you will start lusting for those things that God wants you to do. And it's so funny because we'll start having thoughts like this. Dear Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I really want to reach the people of Detroit. We really need to reach the people of Detroit. And you're trying to convince God, God, stop holding me back. I've got to reach the people of Detroit. And the Lord is saying, you knucklehead, you've been loving on me. I've been loving on you. I put Detroit in your heart. Go. And you go to Detroit, and it's the greatest experience of your life. And you wonder, how can this be allowed by God? Because you're abiding in him. Are you ready? Here's the answer. We got to go. Here it is. So what's the fruit? Before I give you the fruit, mark these down. Number one, how do I abide? Number one, communion with God. Start being with him. Number two, start a dialogue of prayer 24/7, 365. Just start talking to them. Three, fellowship with God's people. Western Christians have bad habits of not fellowshipping with God's people. You should fellowship with Christians that pick your walk up, not tear it down. And some Christians are hanging around people who, they're of the world, so you're supposed to reach them, but you're thinking that if you become like them, then you'll reach them. And I promise you, that will never happen. You need to speak to your friends and invite them out of their pit. Fourthly, be in the Word of God. You do those things, you'll flourish. Okay, so here's the fruit. Say, man, what's the fruit? If I abide, what's the fruit? It's not hard. Here it is. Galatians 5, and we'll be done. Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Notice, it's not fruits. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit, singular, of the Spirit, singular. That's the Holy Spirit, is singular. What's the word? Love. There should be a period right there. In the English Bible, there's a comma. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Good night, end of day. That's it. If you abide in Christ, that is, if you're near Jesus, you're talking to Jesus, you're reading about Jesus, you're living for Jesus, the proof of it is love coming out of your life. And it's not human love, it's supernatural love. Well, how do I know if it's supernatural? Because the guy you hate, you wind up loving. The person that drives you nuts, you wind up liking. The things you would never do, you have to do. Or you get to do. Complete change. Your wife who used to drive you nuts, or your husband that used to drive you nuts, now it's, why do I have these feelings for this person? Been married to them for 20 years, drive me crazy every day. Don't like the way he slurps his coffee, and I don't like the way she shampoos her hair. All this stuff is like, what? All of a sudden, this stuff begins to evaporate. Why? Jesus walking with you kind of goes like this. Yeah, that thing, dink, let's get it out of there. Oh, and that other thing, dink, let's get that out of there. And it happens by being with him. It's amazing. So watch this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How do we know if we have the love of God? We'll have joy. Look at it. Verse 22. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. Do you know what that means? We're done. Look, you know what this means? God wants to live his life through you as you hang out with God, that he begins to change your heart and your mind. You begin being like Jesus in this world, and the law is going like this. I can't get up there. I can't get up there. That is so lofty and awesome. I can only convict people of their sins. I can only show people what they've done wrong. Jesus says, hey, guess what? You walk with me, and it's above the law. It's beyond the law. There is no law where I'm living. Jesus, is awesome. He's saying love conquers a multitude of sin. Greater love hath no man. So church, here's the deal. We don't know if Israel is going to nuke Iran, or if Iran is going to nuke the U.S., or if China is just testing out some new boats. We don't know what in the world Egypt is doing. And no one knows what the economies are about to do in the world. Okay? Things are crazy. Listen, make sure you're hanging out with Jesus. Okay? The choice is yours. The choice is 100% yours to make. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a light and a lamp into the path and our feet. Every man and woman in this place, boy and girl, who's applied the word of God to their life's issue has seen you and have experienced you to be faithful. You are amazing. In our life's greatest challenges, when it's the darkest hour, we feel in a sense that we're the most abandoned at that moment, or the big question arises, why? You so beautifully come in and you lift our little branch that's holding our head. You pick it up and you tie it to a firm setting and you begin to wash us with your word. And you renew the vitality of our soul. And today, Lord God, I pray that collectively, as these congregations have gathered through the course of this day, that you would revitalize this church. If 12 people can change the world and make it right side up, then, Lord, thousands of believers just in this church alone, by the love of God, can affect the ends of the universe. We dedicate our lives to you, Father. We simply pray this morning that if there's those who do not know you, that somehow by the provocation of your Holy Spirit, they would have been made jealous today to know this God who is so personal, who speaks such wonderful things. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that you delight, as any good parent, you delight in seeing your kids flourish. And you would have us to be fruitful. It's just like you. Thank you for not being content to leave us alone. But that we might become more in love with you every day. Lord, we give you this week that's before us. There'll be no accidents. There'll be no incident that has not escaped your perfect plan. So Lord, let us embrace what comes this week by the power of your Spirit with wisdom and knowledge. May we walk in the Spirit. May we bring you all the glory. And may all of us right now at this very second determine now to abide in Christ until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Just Making Sure. Thanks for listening, and we can be confident in this truth, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Before I let you go, reallifewithjackhibbs.org is our website, and that's where you can pick up the New King James Version of the One-Year Bible. Now, this best-selling One-Year Bible helps you read through the entire Bible in as little as 15 minutes a day. The One-Year Bible divides God's Word into daily readings from the Old Testament, the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs, creating an achievable and unforgettable devotional experience. Millions of people have benefited from reading through God's entire Word by using this One-Year Bible, me included, and you can too. This best-selling daily reading Bible divides the text into 365 sections so you can read through the entire Bible in one unforgettable year. That's as little as 15 minutes a day, by the way. I did it. I think you can do it too. So go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the New King James Version of the One-Year Bible. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.